open with a word of prayer. Our Father, it goes without saying how we need you and how we desperately desire that you meet with us in this time of study. Thank you, Blessed Spirit, that you teach us. You never fail. You show us wondrous things out of your law. We plead that you'd be with us and that what we study will be beneficial, will be edifying, building up of our most holy faith. We plead for your mercy this day, in your name, amen. Our study is from Psalm 84. Psalm 84. The message is entitled, The Preciousness of Worship. The Preciousness of Worship. Psalm 84, the psalmist begins verse 1. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. How lovely, he says. He cannot express the full extent of this love. He is overwhelmed. It affects his whole being. Lovely to the mind is thy tabernacle, to the heart and to the eyes, the whole soul delighting in the gathering of God's people. The world cannot even begin to give a sight so refreshing to the people of God as the gathering of the saints to worship. How sad it is when so-called Christians see nothing lovely in the services in the Lord's house. The question always comes is, why do they come? What is the purpose? Fulfilling religious duties. He says, how lovely is your tabernacle. He loved the outer court, the inner court. David's love extended to every part. He rejoiced in that it was there that God revealed himself in a very special way. He cries out with great praise and love as he pictures those sacred services. Because, you see, it is God's tabernacle. He says, how lovely is your tabernacle. The church is that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Pastor Mike's church or Pastor John's church, or it's not your church. It is Christ's church. And we speak error when we speak that way because it is His church. And as David contemplates, it is thy tabernacle. It is that which you have ordained, that which you have sent for the express purpose of meeting with your people. How much more lovely should be the Lord's church today. How precious it should be when we gather together this ordinance of the Lord's Supper. How delightful, how precious that should be to our own hearts. How precious should be the ministry of the Word of God. Where God has so ordained His servants that He has prepared and He has given a word and He has illuminated the Scriptures too, that as they come with the gospel, they come with a gospel trumpet that is blown and the joyful sounds echo throughout the chambers of God's people, bringing the power of the Holy Spirit into action, saving the lost as they hear the good news regarding their hopeless, terrible condition, and sanctifying the saints. So when Paul speaks the way he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It is this which he has in mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The Holy Spirit takes that gospel and it begins to work in our hearts, and we see that power of God as it renews, as it transforms, as it makes us more and more in conformity to His image. What a precious, precious thing it is to have the ministry of the Word of God. Paul says the very same thing in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." But he has said in verse 16, even more so, that this gospel of Christ is the power of God. What? To salvation. It is that which God uses when the trumpet is blown with that certain sound. It is that which He uses to work in the midst of the gathered people. How precious it is to be with the gathered people of believers. "For it is there," says the Lord Christ, "that I come in a very peculiar manner." Revelation 2 and verse 1. These things say He who holds the seven stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden stands. The Lord Christ is the one who walks in the midst of His church. What a blessed, what a precious presence it is when you feel and you see the outworking of Christ among His people. It is, says Paul in Ephesians 2 and verse 22, the gathered people is the habitation of God. It is there where He manifests Himself with such great power and such great clarity as His presence is felt. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is teaching His own people. And what a blessed, blessed work that is to have the Holy Spirit teaching and showing us wondrous things. John 14 and verse 26, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "But the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." He will teach you. It is positive. It is purposed. It is that which indeed He will do. And what a precious thing it is for the believer to be in the context where the Spirit teaches. Now, of course it teaches. Of course the Spirit teaches His people as they're in the Word privately. He teaches in the conversations one with the other when the Word of God is being proclaimed. But in a very special manner, when the gathering of God's people, "Oh," says David, "how I love thy tabernacle, how I love, yea, how I love your church." As it were there that ministry of the Spirit of God is present. John 16, 13 through 15. Again, everything that we are to know, the Spirit of truth has come and He will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God does not guide you into error. And so we have this very precious promise that the Spirit of God in His ministry, as the power goes forth, He's going to be teaching us how precious it is. And as we bring weekly, we should, our sacrifices of praise, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. And this is what overwhelms David in Psalm 84. How lovely, how precious, how glorious is thy tabernacle. And then he goes on, verse 2, my soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. My soul, he says, my soul longs. Yes, it faints to meet with the saints, with the people of God in the house of the Lord. This is what comes from a heart that loves God, a heart that knows personally God and the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. My heart, my soul faints. It's as if the soul cannot hold out any longer, but is exhausted with contending with the delay of another week. Monday comes, and the soul says, what? It's only Monday? I mean, where is the Sunday again? And you're just literally exhausted. I want to be among the people of God. I want to worship. I want to be there in the presence, that peculiar presence of my Lord and my Savior. Oh, he says, I long, yes, I even faint for the courts of the Lord, to stand once again in that place that's dedicated, consecrated to holy worship. He weeps and he sighs and he pleads God's providence for the privilege, not that we are as such owed anything, but the privilege of coming and worshiping God. My heart, he says, my flesh cried out for the living God. Today, most people and so-called believers must be whipped to come to church, while here David is crying for it. What a difference that is. And so what happens in our day? You have to construct your times of worship around a type of setting which shows a rock concert and a man standing with different jokes and different things that he can say in order to entice, because otherwise no one would come. And you come and you seek to build, as it were, by making everybody feel good and everybody having a good time and nobody offended. That's the way that you can have churches full as they are. And David says, no. He says, listen, I am crying out to come to this worship time with God's people, where I meet with my God in that presence. The Spirit of God comes and He teaches me. It is a precious, precious time. I would not trade it for anything. And then he goes on in verse 10 to say this of Psalm 84. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. A thousand days spent in a worldly context of a resort where the rooms are $50,000 a night, and the pools and all of the eatery and all everything, and just to have this luxury and have all of these pleasures, anything that you want for a thousand days does not compare at all just to have one day among God's people, to feel God's presence and His love towards His people, to be in the presence of God and to be able by His grace to survey the glorious promises that are ours that is mine in Christ, as Paul says in Ephesians, and to have the Spirit of God apply the Word. Not only teach us, but apply the Word of God to our hearts. Oh, what precious truth to be soaked in the truth, to have just one day is better than 1,000 in this world and what the world can do. To have that time when the Spirit of God comes and the Spirit of God blesses and convicts and corrects the heart. Oh, what a precious time that is. Listen to me carefully here. When the Spirit of God, as He brings the truth to our minds and our hearts, it is not in any way His purpose to give mere information. It is not that at all. It is that you be transformed. It is that you be convicted. That is that you be corrected. The Spirit of God comes and convicts the heart and corrects the heart. And listen to me carefully at this point. It is not your worry. It is not your business of the person next to you, or whether he or she is convicted. That's not your problem. Your problem is with your own heart. Why is it that we lose the precious ministry of the Spirit of God so often in convicting our own hearts when our eyes go one side or the other? No, keep the eyes upon your own heart. And that blessed work, services of God, when the Spirit comes, where the child of God says, I want to be conformed to the image of Christ, therefore, I will not miss a service. I will not miss the times of God's gathering. I will not miss the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When the Scripture says, by way of command, not to forsake the assembling. I don't need that command. I want and desire, I long and I faint, says David, for your courts. My heart goes out and my flesh cries out for the living God. O God, come and meet. He says in verse 10, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. The lowest position in God's house is better than the greatest position that the world can give. To simply be at the entrance, only at the entrance, and simply to peek in to the courts, is better than all of the worldly luxuries that could be out there. Oh, just a little glimpse of God's love is better than all that the world can give. That's the attitude. That's the heart. It is what Simeon of old, as we see the record in Luke, the second chapter. Listen to Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Rather, yes, 25. It says, And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit. Did you know nobody comes to God apart from the Spirit? Did you know that? He came by the Spirit, and that's the only way that you will come. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, it says, And he took him up in his arms and bless God. Imagine Simeon cradling the Creator in his arms, the Lord Christ, the one who is very God. There in his arms, he held the blessed Christ. Oh, what preciousness. Oh, what it must have gone through in the heart and mind of Simeon, so that this is what he says. Verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. What? For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Lord, mine eyes have seen. Mine eyes have seen. Lord, you've shown me your glory. Just one glimpse. Just one look. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. That's it. I'm ready to go. Lord, what preciousness. And you could just see the heart of this man to simply be, listen to me, to simply be in the back and open doors for the Lord is to have more honor than earthly kings and all of their riches. Do we understand that? God's worst is better than the devil's best, according to Scripture. Visible positions in the church is not the essence of usefulness. We must understand that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul speaks to this issue in verse 15 of that chapter. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each of them in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. What is Paul teaching here? The foot does not say here that it wants to be a hand. No. But both assume this, that they are unimportant in comparison to others. Listen to that. They are unimportant comparison to others within the group. And yet the Scripture says that all, without exception, who is in the body is very important to the work of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every single part contributes to the building up of the body, the working within the body. Everyone, if you are a believer, there is no one who is unimportant in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. But all have their place among the people of God and the body. Romans chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul says, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Oh, this is what encouraged is the mutual faith, entering in to church life. You want to be useful enter into church life. Come, as it were, with a true heart. If your heart is hungering for the Word of God and thirsting, and you desire, as David did here in Psalm 84, just to be among the people of God, you come and you enter in. You are there at all the services, and you are there entering in to where you are soaking up the truth, as it were. And every avenue where you can in the ministry, you're at the gospel mission. You're sitting at the gospel mission, entering in and being a support. Stirring up pastors. Did you know something? That if a pastor, a preacher, senses at all that he is getting through and that you are being edified and built up, do you know what that does to the pastor? It stirs him up to where he is more diligent in his study and in his faithfulness. How often it is that when there are these dead faces, and where there is in the congregation this sporadic coming and not entering in fully into the Word, into the church and its life, pastors go home, and so often what is the cry on a Monday morning? Lord, Lord, what's the use? I give up. Lord, Okay, Lord, I'm going to be studying. But there is not that fervor and that drive. Lord, what use am I? And so when the body, parts of the body, and when they come together, there is real usefulness in stirring up those who are diligent to preach. By the way, that you enter into the church. And what a ministry that is, that when the Lord begins to bring different people here, one of the things that they see is that here are a people, small as they may be, who are enthusiastic, who are just sitting on the edge of their seat, who are fully committed to the work. And what a blessing, preciousness that is. To have what is in Psalm 63, where there we read, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you, in the dry and thirsty land where there is no power. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. And there is that sense among the believers of a congregation. They have come not to sing songs and chat about the weather and everything else. They have come in order to see God's power, in order to see His glory, in order to have an effect upon them. Oh, what a precious, precious time of worship it is. It wouldn't give it up for anything. Just let me be a doorkeeper, just so I'm in the vicinity, if nothing else, O Lord. Here's something. Because you see, some of the most important works among the people of God are not visible. You understand that? Are not visible to others. Nobody sees, nobody knows but God. And yet it is a mighty, mighty influence upon the ministry of the church and the growth of the body. And one area is this, prayer. Prayer. Maybe you have a lot of time. Maybe you are retired. Maybe indeed you've been held up by an operation or what, and so you're bedridden. Maybe you don't work for whatever reason, and you have time upon your hands that others do not have time. How do you use that? Romans chapter 15. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 15 and verse 30 of that chapter. He says, Now I beg you, brethren, And I would do as well. I would beg you as brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Striving. Working. You put in a work day. You put in a day of really striving. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 of that chapter. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. There is a ministry. Lord, I plead with you that your servants, the pastors that you have raised up, that they be able to open their mouth and they be able to preach and preach with power. I plead, Lord, I plead with you, and you strive. But you see, it's not seen of men. And therefore many say, well, I'm not useful at all, because they're thinking of visible areas. But visible areas can come here and there to ones in the congregation, but the fight and the important areas of usefulness are those that are unseen, that are not seen. What is it when a brother comforts another brother and comforts another sister in Christ, and nobody sees that except for the sister or brother being comforted, and yet that is a ministry? Listen to what the Lord and how He feels about this whole matter in Matthew 6. Listen. He says in verse 5, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. I want people to know my usefulness. I want people to know what I am doing. And they stand with all the pomp and circumstances, and they all their religious type of talk and speech, and they pray these lofty prayers. Assuredly, I say, they're going to have their reward. But you, he says to his people, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your God who's in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Nobody sees that. Nobody sees that. You go all week long and you are praying diligently. This is my usefulness. I can do this. I can do this more than the person who has this 10-hour job a day and can't steal away. And I can pray. And began to see the Lord working. And nobody knows that brother or sister so-and-so is praying. And yet they are useful. Why? Because they're not concerned to be seen of men. They are seen of God. And He's the only one that matters. He's the only one. And God says, I will reward openly. Oh, to have a people, who are a praying people is a rare, rare commodity in the so-called church of our day. And then you wonder why there's so little being done among God's people. And God has put you, 1 Corinthians 12:18, with purpose. My concern is not to be noticed, but my concern is to serve God any way I can. Even if it means standing at the back door and opening that up for saints to come in, I'll do it gladly, cheerfully, unto the Lord. Preciousness. The Lord will bring those areas of work in those areas in time, especially as a congregation grows, where you will then be involved, and it will be more public, as it were. But the point is that we cannot wait for times like that, but we must see what is our usefulness now, in the present. You can be a valuable asset to God's people. Besides the fact that indeed in all of this, being true worship, you will benefit. You will be blessed. You will be transformed and edified. You'll be brought close to the Lord. For every believer should be in this context. So every time the church meets, David says, I long to be there. I want to be there. Oh, when we meet for prayer, then I am going to pray my heart out. I have been praying all week, and I will enter in. And there is this unified, this one voice crying unto God. When we meet for prayer at 9, what is it? It is that with one voice we are crying out to our God, O Lord, come down. O Lord, bless us. Where's your heart today? Where's your heart today? I know for myself, I just love you guys. Can't wait until we meet again. Wish that I could preach better. Wish that I could open the scriptures better. But, you know, this is a precious, precious time. Lord's Supper. Wow. To commemorate this time, wouldn't miss it for anything unless providentially really, really hampered. I love it. I love God's people. I love the ordinance of the church. And so many times, as I've met with God's people, I have been stirred up unto a greater sense and urgency to persevere in the way. You see, ministry is not always seen, as we said. It's not always vocal, where everything is brought out. To where, in our times together, I speak a word to you, and it's put up on the wall. Mike has spoken a word to me, and here it is. Notice that. He's done his job. Or you speak to me, and your name is up there. Everybody notice. No. These things go on secretly. These things go on quietly. Unnoticed. Because why? Your reward is with God. He will give you your reward. Be happy. Be productive. Be stirred in your own heart, but never, never able to say that you are not important in the Church of Christ if it's functioning as it should. There is plenty, plenty of work. Where are you today? How precious are these times. David says, oh, 1,000 days is a long time. 1,000 days in Hawaii, full luxury. Maybe you get sick of it after a while, but that's a long time. But just give me one day. David's a king. He had riches. Just give me one day. Just one day. How do you view? Were you eager to come today? Looking at the clock, the watch? What? It's only 6 o'clock? It's only 7 o'clock? Come on, come on. Get the time going. That's the way it should be, beloved. And I trust that God will bless this study to your hearts, as He has for me. Very difficult putting this together because it's the tears of joy that come to think we're in the habitation of God. We are the habitation of God. We are His presence, as few as we are. He's here in a peculiar way. The world doesn't understand. Nobody understands. But when we see how He enlivens us, stirs us up, may we go down to our house even this day, rejoicing that we have been here. Shall we pray? Our Father, precious, precious is this time of worship. Don't take it away for any of us. Forgive us, blessed Spirit, if we grieve You just with our coldness, just with our so what and careless manner of coming. O Lord, may it be that these times together are just everything to us. We marvel at Your mercy. Where is truth in our day? Where is it that we can hear Your word in our day? May we not, O Lord, take lightly Your mercies and Your grace. Be with Pastor John as he preaches in this coming hour, partake of the ordinance, the Lord's Supper. Be with us. Lord, come in power. Stir in my heart. Convict me. Change me. I plead in Your precious name. Amen.